So the ordeal presents itself in the detail of a life lived. We know only what we have experienced, what the substance of our lives is, what we know. And in this next poem, which is quite a long poem, it's called Night Walker, many of the details of my own experience, which of course is that of one born and bred in Ireland, are brought into use. The night walker is someone who is taking a walk in a Dublin suburb, leaving home, heading down towards the seafront at Sandycove, where, as you may remember, the Martello Tower at the opening of Joyce's Ulysses stands. And Joyce is, at one section in the poem, the hero of the poem, so to speak, and indeed the method of the poem, which is essentially an interior monologue, is partly attributed to the method of Ulysses. Also, in parentheses, any curious outbursts you may hear towards the center of the poem are quotations from Finnegan's Wake. The night walker is in a state of despondency. He is reacting to memories of his day and to things and happenings about him. He is also acutely aware of the sort of thing that anybody who had the same kind of upbringing as I have had would be aware of. For instance, when things become significant, one thinks of one's history. And here the references are, for instance, to the famine, which over 100 years ago reduced Ireland's population by a catastrophic percentage. Queen Victoria, under whose reign the famine took place, and who has left her mark on a great deal of our way of life ever since. 1916, the rebellion of 1916, and the civil war of great brutality, which followed shortly after. Also, certain contemporary facts of life, which it would be impossible to ignore living in Ireland at this time. Mainly, curiously, the idea of economic development, which, in a great sudden burst of glamour and popularity, became part of everybody's consciousness about 5 or 6 years ago, to such a degree that people would be as likely to talk about the gross national product as they would about, say, horse racing or football in the pub. And they are still as caught up in this. The revival of the Irish language is something which is a great part of our consciousness. The attempt, the official attempt, to revive the Irish language as the spoken language of the majority of the people. I doubt myself that this has any hope of success, but anything can happen. The mismanagement of the Abbey Theatre, and so on. These are references which you may catch, I hope you will, but if you don't, I don't believe that they will make a great deal of difference to the point of the poem, which I stress again, is not really satire, it's not social comment. It is simply what the night walker is most aware of, the context of violence inside him, outside him. It's a sad poem about violence. I only know things seen and are not good. A brain in the dark and bones, out exercising shadowy flesh, fitness for the soft belly, fresh air for lungs that take no pleasure any longer. The smell of gardens under suburban lamplight, clipped privet, a wall blotted with shadows, monsters of ivy squat in lunar glare. There above the roof that hangs like a fat skull or the pearl knob of a pendulum at the outermost reach of its swing, motionless, it is about to detach its hold on the upper night for the return. Yes, I remember talk of it, though only a child. Not far from here it passed through, remorseless, cratered face, swift as the wind, a bludgeon tears free from the world's bones, spikes breaking off. Millions of little sharp limbs, jets of blood, petrified in terror, jetted screams, then plunges upward far into the darkness. It meant little to me then, though I remember playing in the silence when the rain of fragments dropped in the streets afterward. Bone splinters, silvery slivers of screams, blood splinters rattling like crimson flint. There it hangs, a mask of gray dismay, sagging open in the depths of torture, moron, voiceless moon. That dark area, the mark of Cain. My shadow twists about my feet in the light of every passing street lamp. Will-o'-the-wisp in a bay window, a shadow slumped in the corner of a living room in blue trance, buried alive, two blank eyes. On a tiny screen, mouths open and close, and bodies move obliquely and stoop, flickering. Embalmers in eerie light underground, their arms toil in silence. A laboratory near necropolis. It is midnight. A shade enters, patrolling the hive of his brain. Window after window, the same unearthly light consumes pitilessly. Surely we can never die, sick spirits. The minions stretch at rest, pale entities wound in a drowsy humming at the brink of sleep. They snuggle in their cells, faintly luminous, like grubs. Abdominal body juices and paper-thin shells, in their thousands, in the smashable wax, O moon. Musing thus, I stroll upon my way, a vagabond, tethered. My shadow twists at their feet. I must lie down with them all soon and sleep, and rise with them again when the new dawn has touched our pillows and our wet pallor and roused us. We'll come scratching in our waistcoats down to the kitchen for a cup of tea. Then with our briefcases through wind or rain, past our neighbor's gardens, Melrose, Bloomfield, to wait at the station, fluttering our papers, assembled for the day's toil, palping the cool wind. Is it not right to serve our banks and businesses and government as together we develop our community on clear principles with no fixed ideas? And, twitching our thin umbrellas, acceptable, but during a transitional period, development should express itself in forms without principle, based on fixed ideas. Robed in spattered iron at the harbor mouth, she stands, productive investment, and beckons the nations through our gold half door. Lend me your wealth, your cunning, and your drive, your arrogant refuse. Let my people serve them bottled fury in our new hotels, while native businessmen and managers drift with them, chatting over to the window, to show them our growing city, give them a feeling of what is possible, our labor pool, the tax concessions to foreign capital, how to get a nice estate, though German, even collect some of our better young artists. Morose condemnation. It is a weakness and turns on itself. Clean bricks are made of mud. We need them for our tower. Spirit skeletons are straggling into view from the day's depths. You can pick them out in the night sky with a little patience. Pale influences, the wakeful twins, Bruder und Schwester. Two young Germans I had in this morning, wanting to transfer investment income. The sister, a business figurehead, her brother, otter-faced, with exasperated smiles, assuming, pressing until he achieved response. Hand clasp. I do not exist. I cannot take my eyes from their pallor. A red glare plays on their faces, livid with little splashes of blazing fat. The oven door closes. All about and above me, the officials on the corridors or in their rooms, work or overwork, with mixed motives or none. We dwell together in urgency, aborting vague tendencies with buttery smiles, dominate, entering middle age, subserve. Among us, behind locked doors, the ministers are working, with a sureness of touch found early in the nation's birth. The blood of enemies and brothers dried on their hide long ago. Dragon old men, upright and stately and blind, are shuffling in the corridor, finding a key. Their youth cannot die in them. It will be found beating with violence when their bodies rot. What occupies them as they sit in their rooms? What they already are? Shadow flesh. Claimed by pattern, still living, linked into constellations with their dead. Look, the wedding group, the groom, the best man, the fox, and their three ladies. A tragic tale. Soon, the story tells, enmity sprang up between them, and the fox took to the wilds. Then, to the groom's sorrow, his dear friend left him also, vowing hatred. So they began destroying the groom's substance, and he sent out to hunt the fox, but trapped his friend instead. Mourning, he slaughtered him. Shortly in his turn, the groom was savaged on a Sunday morning, no one knows by whom. Though it's known the fox is a friend of death and rues nothing. Over here in the same quarter, the two executioners, groom and weasel, 77 burning into each brow. And look, the vivid weasel there again, dancing crook-backed under the player king. A tragicomical tale. How the fox, long after, found a golden instrument one day, a great complex gold horn left at his door. He examined it with little curiosity, wanting no gold or music. Observed the mouthpiece, impossible to play with fox's lips, and gave it with dull humor to his old enemy, the weasel, who recognized the horn of the player king and bared his needle teeth. He took it, hammered on it with a stick, and pranced about in blithe pantomime, his head cocked to enjoy the golden plouts, while the fox from time to time nodded his mask. The human taste grows faint. It is gone, leaving a taste of self and laurel leaves and rotted salt. The gardens begin to smell of soaked sand and half-stripped rocks in the dark. My bones obey the sighing of the tide. Another turning, a cast-iron lamp standard sheds yellow light on the seawall. Other lamps are lighting along a terrace of Victorian red brick. Not a breath of wind. Joyce's Martello Tower rises into the dark near the 40-foot on a prow frozen to stone. Crossing the road, I hear my footsteps echo back from the terrace. A sheet of newspaper gleams yellowish in the gutter. The Morning Times. Our new young minister stares from a photograph. On horseback, in hunting pinks, from a low angle, haunch on haunch. Snigger, and by God. The tide is drawing back from the promenade, far as the lamplight can reach, trickling under the weed into night's cave. Note the silence. Light never strays there. Nothing has a shadow there. When a wind blows there, a rustle in the gutter, the hair stirs, stealing over the waters through the smell of seaweed, a spectral stink of horse and rider's sweat. What's that outside the light? Watcher in the tower, be with me now, at your parapet above the glare of the lamps. Turn your milky spectacles on the sea, unblinking, cock your ear. A rich darkness, alive with signals, lights flash and wink, Little bells clunk in the channel near the harbor. Hoth twinkles across the bay. Ship lights move by invisible sea lanes. The Bailey light flickers as it sweeps the middle darkness on some commotion. A dripping cylinder, big as a ship's funnel, pokes into sight, picked out by the moon. Two blazing eyes, then a whole head. Shoulders of shadowy muscle, lit from within by joints and bones of light. Another head, animal, with nostrils straining open, red as embers, goggle eyes. A spectral whinny, four hoofs scrape at the night. A rider grunts and urges. Father of authors, it is himself. In silk hat and jowls accoutred in stern jodhpurs, the sun husband coming in his power, mounting to glory on his big white horse. He climbs the dark to his mansion in the sky to take his place in the influential circle, a new sign, Fox Hunter. Subjects will find the going hard but rewarding. You may give offense, but this should pass. Marry the boss's daughter. The newspaper settles down in the gutter again. The Archbishop on marriage. New moves to restore the language. The new Ireland. Still awkward in the saddle, but able and willing for the foul ditch. You'll sit as well as any at the kill, dark brother. What matter what iron fausts open the gates? It has begun, the curs mill and yelp at your heel, back snapping and grinning, they eye your back. Watch the smile of the dog. They wait your signal, the kick of dirt in the teeth, to turn them in the old miracle to a pack of lickspittles running as one. The foot of the tower, an angle where the darkness is complete. The parapet is empty, a backdrop of constellations, crudely done and mainly unfamiliar. They are arranged to suggest a chart of the brain. Music far off. In the part of the little harbor that can be seen, the moon is reflected in low water, beyond the lamps on the terrace. The music fades. Snuggle into the skull. Total darkness wanders among my bones. Lung tips flutter. Wavelets lap the shingle. From the vest's darkness, smell of my body. Chalk dust and flowers. Faint brutality. Shoes creak in peace. Brother Burke flattens his soutane against the desk. But the authorities use the national schools to try to conquer the Irish national spirit, at the same time exterminating what they call their jargon, the Irish language, in which St. Patrick, St. Bridget, and St. Columbkille taught and prayed. Edmund Ignatius Rice founded our order to provide schools that were national in more than name. Pupils from our school played their part, as you know, in the fight for freedom. And you will be called in your different ways to work for the native language, to show your love by walking for your country. Today there are Christian Brothers boys everywhere in the government. The present Taoiseach sat where one of you is sitting now. It wasn't long before Her Majesty gave us the famine, the starvation, as Bernard Shaw, a godless writer, called it more accurately. A hand is laid on my brow. A voice breathes. You will ask, are we struck dumb by the unsimplifiable? Take these, bread of certainty, scalding soup of memories for my drowsy famine. Martyrs in a dish of scalding tears. Food of dragon men and my own dragon half. Fierce pity. The Blessed Virgin smiles from her wax pedestal like young Victoria. A green snake wriggles under her heel beside a vase of tulips. adolescents, celibates, we offer up our vows to God and Ireland in her name, grateful that by our studies here, they may not lack civil servants in a state of grace. A glass partition rattles in the draft, rain against the windows, a shiver clothes the flesh, bittersweet. A sea mew passes over, whinging, era, era. Is there none to hear? Is all lost? Not yet all. A while still, your voice. Alas, I think I will dash myself at the stones. I will become a wind on the sea, or a wave of the sea again, or a sea sound. At the first light of the sun, I stirred on my rock. I have seen the sun go down at the end of the world. Now I fly across the face of the moon. A dying language echoes across a century's silence. It is time, lost soul, I turned for home. Sad music steals over the scene. Hesitant, cogitating, exit. Home and beauty. Her dear shadow on the blind. The bread knife. She was slicing and buttering a loaf of bread. My heart stopped. I starved for speech. I believe now that love is half persistence, a medium in which, from change to change, understanding may be gathered. The return, virgin most pure, bright in the dregs of the harbor, moon of my dismay, quiet as oil, enormous in her shaggy pool. Her brightness, reflected on earth, in heaven, consumes my sight. Gradually, as my brain at a great distance swims in the steady light, scattered notes, scraps of newspaper, photographs begin to flow unevenly toward the pool and gather into a book before her stare. Her mask darkens as she reads, to my faint terror. But she soon brightens a little and smiles wanly. It was a terrible time. Nothing but sadness and horrors of one kind and another. We came to take the waters. The sun shone brightly, which was very pleasant and made it less gloomy, though my tears flowed again and again. When I drank, I felt my patience and trust coming back. From time to time, it seems that everything is breaking down, but we must never despair. There are times it is all part of a meaningful drama that begins in the gray mists of antiquity and reaches through the years to unknown goals in the consciousness of man, which is very soothing. A wind sighs, the pool shivers, the tide at the turn. Odor of lamplight, sour soil, the seabed passes like a ghost, the hem of her invisible garment. Our mother rules on high, queen-like, pale with control. Hatcher of peoples, incline from your darkness into mine. I stand at the ocean's edge, my head fallen back, heavy with your control and oppressed. That mad stare, the pulse hisses in my ear. I am an arrow piercing the void unevenly as I correct and correct, but swift as thought. I arrive enveloped in blinding silence. No wind stirs on the dust floor. Far as the eye can see, rock needles stand up from the plain. The horizon, a ring of sharp mountains like broken spikes. Hard bluish light beats down to kill any bodily thing. But a million dead voices hide from it in the dust without hope of peace. A cloud bursts from the ground. Rock fragments scatter in total silence. A true desert, naked to every peril. The shadows are alive. They scuttle and flicker among the rock needles, squat and suck the dry juice, inspect the eggs of shadow beneath the surface, twitching madly in their cells. The earth, at the full, hangs in blue splendor in the sky. I believe I have heard of this place. In the mind, darkness tosses, the light deceives. A vivid ghost sea quivers and dazzles for miles. Let us take the waters, stoop down, run the fingers along the brink. It has a human taste, but sterile, odorless, massed human wills. A dust plane flickering. I think this is the sea of disappointment.